the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So, to Things in America with Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas. And this man, Cole Allen, has been charged with attempting to assassinate President Donald Trump. If he's convicted, it carries a maximum sentence of life in prison. Marion McKeown, did he fire any shots? How close did he get to President Trump?
Okay, so to answer the first question, Matt, yes, it's understood at the moment. I think there have been multiple other charges as well that he did fire at least one shot, and that apparently hit one of the security people, one of the police in I think it hit somewhere in his bulletproof vest, and it was also blocked by his phone, apparently. So we know that at least one shot was fired by this gunman.
Sorry, is that definitely by Allen, or could it have been by one of the other security detail?
At the moment, the information that I have, just based on the statements that have been emailed, is that he fired that shot. But you're right, it hasn't been 100% confirmed. So we'll see what, I mean, it's possible numerous shots were fired, that it could have been friendly fire. But we're hearing that it was Allen. But just to give
Okay, Marion, we're going to just have to stop with you for a second because the phone line keeps breaking up. We're going to get you on a different phone line. Cal, can I come to you on that? Because he was on a different floor of the Washington Hilton. He was nowhere near getting a shot at the president, was he?
No, and I've been in that hotel many times. I've spent the night there. I have attended events beginning with the administration of Richard Nixon back in the 1970s. It's not a very safe room. It's extremely crowded. People have asked, where was the fire marshal on this? The number of people allowed into the ballroom supposedly was far fewer than the 2,000 who were there. The other thing is that the manner of succession under our Constitution, everyone from the president, vice president, the House Speaker, and right on down the line was in that room. It was an incredibly target-rich environment. This guy had planned this, taking a train from Los Angeles to Chicago and then to Washington. When you check into the Washington Hilton, at least as many times as I do, all they require is an identification and a credit card. Your bags are not searched. You're not examined in any other way. And you go right to your room. And then you can go down to the ballroom. Now, there are two levels. There's the above one, which the shooter Cole was on. And then you go down an escalator or steps to the ballroom itself. The magnetometers were on the second level. He ran through one, the video shows, and was immediately or almost immediately detained by the Secret Service. There are still questions about firing, who shot whom, and whatever that will come out. But clearly there was some kind of security breakdown here, even though the Secret Service certainly performed well without letting him get into the ballroom itself, which could have been a disaster.
Okay, but he didn't get near to getting into the ballroom. This listener wants to know, has there ever been this many attempts at killing an American president? That's three so far this term. Well, I think it's fair to say, Cal, isn't it? There were multiple attempts at Barack Obama's life and at Joe Biden's, which again would have been stopped in the way that this particular one was stopped.
Well, there's too much hateful rhetoric on all sides on this, Matt. I've talked about this. I've written about it in my column. We talked about this on the show. We are fellow Americans. This is we're approaching our 250th anniversary. And yes, there has been radical statements made in the past. One of my favorites is, I looked it up, a pro-John Adams newspaper in the election of 1801 said if Jefferson was elected, murder, robbery, rape, adultery, and incest will openly be taught and practiced. George Washington, our first president, he had critics. People claimed that he wanted to be a king, but he went home to Mount Vernon after only two terms and set a precedent that was not violated until Franklin Roosevelt won four terms. But there's entirely too much nasty rhetoric out there, name-calling, fascist, Nazi, enemy of America, all this other stuff. It needs to stop, but I'm very cynical, and from my experience, I sadly say it's not going to.
Well, Marion, can I just come back to you on this? Just to clarify, people think that Trump has been targeted in a way that Obama and Biden weren't. But even on one occasion, weren't there shots fired at the White House from outside when Barack Obama and his family were in there?
That's right, multiple shots on one occasion while they were present. I think there have been 11 documented foilings of assassination attempts on Barack Obama's life, and I say attempts, they were at plot stage, most of them, but there were 11 documented attempts that were prevented. And I think in this case, it's really important. I have concerns about the general security, but I think that there has to be context. This Hilton Hotel, and Cal will tell you because we both know it well, it's got nearly 1,200 bedrooms in it. It's got about 120 square feet of floors, you know, event space. It's got 47 meeting rooms. It is massive. It's bigger than Dublin Airport, or certainly about the same size. So if you think of the distance in getting there, if you think he was the distance of from, say, the departures area to the check-in area away from the ballroom, so he didn't get close thanks to the Secret Service. He did get to the top of the escalator, and he did breach one cordon. What I was really more concerned about, and I've seen this before, there is the area, the VIP area, and as Cal said, I think 15 of the 18 cabinet members were there and numerous other senior advisors. The area where they go, the red carpet, if you will, and where they were all stopping for photographs and chatting, that was beyond the magnometers. So anybody who wanted to take a pop, including this guy who said he wanted to target officials, that would have been a perfect opportunity. And that, to me, that is not the Secret Service's job. Their job is to protect the president and the vice president. But if I am surprised that the hotel security and the consultants that were working with the Foreign Press Association didn't put all of that VIP area inside the magnometers. That, to me, is a pretty strange decision. But look, and you know, Cal, I know you're the same. We've both been at hundreds of events in these giant places, the Gaylord Arenas, all of these cavernous convention centres. You cannot secure them, not in a country
well, then, where
very
Marion,
regulation.
Aren't you then talking to the agenda of this is why Trump needs the ballroom in the White House so that he can be safe? No.
This is why it's so stupid and pointless and exploitative, because what, you know, if you figured what, 60,000 people a year, you had down in Louisiana last week, 8 children were killed in a single shooting. We have mass shootings in America every day in schools and workplaces, whatever. What, everybody's going to have their own ballroom? It's ridiculous. You know, and do we think for a second, and should it even be appropriate? For starters, I think this event should be cancelled permanently. I think it has turned into something that is horrible and obsequious and almost masochistic. But does every event that involves Trump then have to be held in the White House so everybody's a captive of Trump and his agenda and his ballroom? It's ludicrous. The crassness of using this event to exploit and to promote his ballroom is just mind-boggling to me.
Cal, you know, he went to things like UFC fighting in Madison Square Garden this year. He went to Super Bowl last year. Is he not going to go to anything like that again? I noticed there was an attempt, there was somebody shot outside his golf course in Mar-a-Lago last year. It was said to be another assassination attempt, and yet he's not giving up playing golf in Mar-a-Lago. In fact, he wants to bring the G20 leaders to play golf there. A lot of people feel that this has the look of being, if not staged, at least exploited to try and get his ballroom, which now it turns out will not be paid for solely by donors, but is going to require $400 million of federal money.
Yeah, I don't think it was staged. There's no way. That's like people who believe that think we never landed on the moon and the earth is still flat. Nobody would stage that kind of thing, no matter how cynical you may be about this president. He said Sunday night or Saturday night at a late news conference in the White House briefing room that he intends to come back to the same hotel in 30 days and deliver his speech. One of the things that was encouraging to me, as I wrote about my column today, was that his tone was significantly lower. He even praised the press, which I don't ever recall him doing before. And he was fairly somber in tone. Now, whether that's going to continue, I have my doubts. But let me tell you about something that I think is even more concerning. Gallup poll last year took a look at the number of people in various age groups who believe that political violence is acceptable under some circumstances. The people who believe that the most are aged 18 to 29, and they spend 4 to 5 hours per day on social media. And I think that is a major concern, and there needs to be a debate in this country about some of these dark areas of the web that can inspire people with mental problems or twisted political outlooks to commit violence.
Let's hear, Lou, a little bit of who the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt blames for what happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
We should not live in a country where such constant fear of political violence permeates our society every single day. We can and we should have fierce disagreement in this country. As you all know, we disagree often, myself in this role and all of you in the news media. But those disagreements must remain peaceful. Debating, peaceful protesting, and voting are how we need to settle disagreements, not bullets. Nobody in recent years has faced more bullets and more violence than President Trump. This political violence stems from a systemic demonization of him and his supporters by commentators, yes, by elected members of the Democrat Party, and even some in the media. This hateful and constant and violent rhetoric directed at President Trump day after day after day for 11 years has helped legitimize this violence and bring us to this dark moment. Those who constantly falsely label and slander the president as a fascist, as a threat to democracy, and compare him to Hitler to score political points are fueling this kind of violence. The left-wing cult of hatred against the president and all of those who support him and work for him has gotten multiple people hurt and killed, and it almost did so again this weekend.
So, Cal, has she ever heard her own boss? Has she ever read his Truth Social posts?
Yeah, I've said on this show many times, Matt, and again, I've written in my column and other appearances on television here in the U.S., I don't like this kind of rhetoric. I think that if you're going to denounce rhetoric from the Democrat side, you have to be more circumspect on your own side. I don't think that the president's ever called anybody a fascist or a dictator, but he still labels people in ways that I think are not conducive to good conversation. Look, I'm more interested in winning the argument. I think we should have a debate on the issues, the massive $39 trillion debt we have. How are we going to handle immigrants in the future? There's so many things that can be debated civilly between Republicans and Democrats if the goal is an actual solution. Name-calling doesn't solve anything. It increases cynicism, and in the extreme cases, it encourages people to violent activity.
Now, as it happens, Donald Trump's wife, Jeffrey Epstein's friend Melania, is also upset, and this time with Jimmy Kimmel, the TV host. So this clip is a montage of Kimmel's joke, which caused her such deep offence, the White House response from Caroline Leavitt again, and finishes with Jimmy Kimmel on television last night defending his joke.
Our First Lady Melania is here. Look at Melania. So beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow. You know, Melania's birthday is on Sunday. That's right. She's planning to celebrate at home, the same way she always does, looking out a window and whispering, "What have I done?"
As the First Lady of the United States pointed out this morning, just 2 days prior to the shooting, ABC's late night host Jimmy Kimmel disgustingly called First Lady Melania Trump an expectant widow. Who in their right minds says a wife would be glowing over the potential murder of her beloved husband? And having experienced what I did with the First Lady on Saturday night, I can tell you that she was anything but that.
Obviously was a joke about their age difference and the look of joy we see on her face every time they're together. It was a very light roast joke about the fact that he's almost 80 and she's younger than I am. It was not by any stretch of the definition a call to assassination, and they know that. I've been very vocal for many years speaking out against gun violence in particular, but I understand that the First Lady had a stressful experience over the weekend, and probably every weekend is pretty stressful in that house. And also, I agree that hateful and violent rhetoric is something we should reject. I do, and I think a great place to start to dial that back would be to have a conversation with your husband about it, because...
Marion, the most famous jacket Melania ever wore had the logo on it. I really don't care, do you? We have found out in recent weeks what she cares about. Her many links to Jeffrey Epstein. And now this. What's going on here?
Yeah, and let's not forget the promotion. I'm surprised she didn't use this opportunity to promote her book and her documentary because, you know, she's so in on the grift. This is ridiculous. Caroline Leavitt, by the way, Caroline Leavitt said about 3 hours, Jimmy Kimmel made that joke, I think 3 days before the event. It was in no way, it was clear he was saying that he's 80, she's 55, and she's probably thinking not long left. You know, it was a joke. And he makes a number of jokes about Melania Trump, and she clearly doesn't like it. He makes a lot more about Donald Trump. Caroline Leavitt saying it was a call for the murder of her husband is ludicrous. Caroline Leavitt said a couple of hours before the event, shots will be fired tonight. Was she inciting shots to be fired? Was she saying to somebody, come on, fire shots? You know, it's absolutely ridiculous the way they get so up in their grill about all this stuff and so hysterical. There is way too much hateful rhetoric in America. And Jimmy Kimmel is right. Donald Trump is the number one culprit. But don't conflate a joke with a call to assassinate somebody. It's transparent and it's really unhelpful and it's just downright wrong.
Of course, this is all moving attention away, Cal, from the failure in Iran, because it seems like Iran now is in control of things. The Strait of Hormuz remains shut, oil prices remain elevated, and it looks like what Trump is going to have to do is do some deal on the Strait of Hormuz to get it open again and leave all the nuclear weapons intact.
One quick response on the Jimmy Kimmel thing before I get to that. David Axelrod, one of Bill Clinton's top aides, said that Jimmy Kimmel's joke was in poor taste and he should apologize. But poor taste is not illegal. With respect to Iran, I think the blockade is going to work. And I think that's why you're hearing so much for whoever is the leader or leaders now in Iran, offering various ideas for ending the conflict. Their economy is in shambles. They don't have a future without oil. And I think that the strategy of the blockade is much better than a continuing bombing campaign for a whole lot of reasons. So I think something's going to happen probably within the next couple or 3 weeks. What it will be is anybody's guess.
Well, Cal, suggest to you that it will be heavily influenced by the fact that Trump is on his way to China. China's not going to allow the oil that it wants from Iran to be blockaded. So Trump is going to have to leave the Chinese ships through.
Well, we'll see. Of course, China needs Iranian oil, as do a number of European countries. But we'll see. You know, Trump likes to say that President Xi is his great and close friend. Well, we'll see how that works out.
Well, we will indeed. Actually, I'm just going to stay with you, Cal. Do you think, given that King Charles is in Washington and New York for 4 days, including speaking at Congress tonight about reconciliation and renewal, that the Trump administration would really, as a punishment to Keir Starmer, back Argentina's claim to the Falkland Islands?
Well, I certainly hope not. We don't need a resurrection of that conflict, which Margaret Thatcher, when she was Prime Minister of the UK, ended by sending British troops down there to, quote, liberate Falklands from Argentina. So I think we got enough conflicts in the world without starting another one. When I saw that, I said, what? I mean, this is deja vu? I don't think so.
Okay. And actually, Cal, quite a few people in touch reminded me, and I have actually watched a video of it this morning, that throughout the 2024 presidential election campaign, on at least 4 occasions, Trump called his opponents fascists. He has been the one who's been throwing that language out around the place on multiple occasions.
Well, we can't play, you know, we can't continue to play this game, Matt. You know, you said fascist more than I did. More shots were fired at you than were at me. This is like playground stuff. Well, Joey's mama lets him do it. Well, I'm not Joey's mama. Let's just get some responsible Republicans and Democrats together and say we're going to have a truce. Not only a truce, we're going to have a peace settlement. We are Americans before we are anything else. We have enough enemies on the outside. Why are we trying to destroy ourselves from within?
Marion, that sounds a bit like Charlottesville 2017. There are bad people and good people on both sides.
Well, you know, I completely agree with Cal. I'm at a loss as why America has disintegrated into this. Look, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, I remember Newt Gingrich and the Republicans when Bill Clinton was president with all this kind of, you know, ugly name calling. And it certainly happened, as Cal cited earlier, long, long before that. But Trump has taken it to a new level. And then what I find kind of bizarre and extremely hypocritical is that as soon as anybody, you know, criticizes Trump or something happens, they all jump up and down and call foul. You know, Carolyn Leavitt earlier, when you mentioned she was talking about people calling Trump Hitler, well, J.D. Vance called Trump Hitler. You know, was she including him in her group of people that she was condemning? I mean, the whole thing is just too coarse and too violent. I think Carl's absolutely right. There should be a way of dialing it down, but don't look to Donald Trump for that.
Thank you, Marion McKeown, Carl Thomas.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.